anointing of these words, oh God, that changes lives, that changes situations, that can recreate, that can heal, that can deliver, that gives a new horizon, that broadens somebody's horizon, that heals the disease of their bodies, that changes their life for good, oh, that restores them to the path of righteousness. And so shall it be, oh God, that the word that will proceed this afternoon, oh God, will do all the work you have sent it to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I say praise the Lord. Amen. Are you hungry? I say, are you hungry? Yes. Praise God. Amen. You shall be fed in Jesus' name. Only the hungry get fed. You know that? And only the thirsty get satisfied. The Lord will satisfy your longing this afternoon in Jesus' name. Why don't you open your Bible with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We are going to read from verse 14. We are going to read verses 14 and to 15. 1 Timothy 3, 14 to 15. That's where we are going to read from. And I read. Praise God. I hope you are there. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Can somebody say that? The pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. So what is the pillar and the ground of the truth? The church of God. Praise God. I also want you to open with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 10. We are going to read verses 1 to 4. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Praise the Lord. This morning, I'm sharing with you a message that the Lord gave me way back in 2004. The church, the threshing. The church, the what? The threshing floor. The word threshing floor might be strange to many of you, because you have not been in that situation where you have seen a threshing floor before. How many of us have had the opportunity to be in a farming community? Been to the farm? If you've been to the farm before, where people farm grains, you will notice that the grain you eat don't come purified, clean. Do they? No. Sorghum, maize, what have you. In fact, what happens with it, including beans, what happens with it, when the farmers harvest it, they take it to the threshing floor, usually a stony place, well swept and clean, usually again on the mountain where there will be wind. And so what they do is this, they put the sorghum, the beans or whatever it is, and what do? They get sticks, flat sticks, and they begin to beat it. They begin to trash it. They begin to trash it until all the coverings have been, the shells have been removed. And what do? They put it in a bowl. When the wind is blowing, they carry it up like this, and the wind will come and blow the chaff away. And then you are left with the pure beans, the sorghum, everything that you have. Now you have made you farmers, praise the Lord. So many of us just buy from the market. We never know what happens. In this place, it is similar, except that it is done through, you know, through machines. So when it goes to harvest the wheat, it actually grinds it and takes the wheat out away from the chaff. It separates it. So it's the same process. So there now you can begin to picture a few things from what I've told you. So you remember there's the flat stick, there's the hard, stony ground, there's the wind, there's the product itself. Praise the Lord. Now you can follow what I'm going to talk to you about. So the church, the threshing floor. And by the time you leave this place, you are not going to be the same again in Jesus' name. Because the church is the threshing floor of God. He's going to bring out the beauty of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. First of all, I'm going to tell you what the church is not. The church is not a thrashing or thrashing floor. It's not a place where people are being beaten down. It's not a place of destruction. Just like the threshing floor is not a place of destruction, it actually brings out the best out of the life of the crop. Neither is the church a dumping floor. It's not a place of rotting and rusting. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, and a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's a place where you come and you are renewed. And that God who can renew anything will renew your life today in Jesus' name. It's a place of perfection. That's why it's not a place of rotting and rusting. Because the Bible talks about the role of the church in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 and 12. He said, remember the five ministry gifts? He said it's given unto, you know, to the church for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saint. And as you hear the word of the Lord, that word will find a lodgment in your heart in Jesus' name. We had a 5 series here not long ago, just talking about the good ground. We spent 5 Sundays or so talking about the good ground. And we look at the activity, some of the attributes of the good ground. And one of the things about the good ground is that the good ground is receptive. Praise the Lord. Those of us who did our Greek, what are the 3 types of soil? The loamy soil, the sandy soil, and the clay soil. Praise the Lord. Aha. And the reason why the sandy soil is not useful, it's not just because it's coarse. If you pour water in the sandy soil, the water will just drip down. Nothing can stay there. What about the clay soil? It retains what it's not supposed to retain. But the loamy soil will retain what it's supposed to retain, you know, the water, the moisture, and that's why it's a good ground. Your heart will become the good ground of the word of God today in Jesus' name. We are going to look at the components of the threshing floor. And that will be the basis of our discussion this afternoon. When you go to the threshing floor, people are needed. When they carry the maize and all the stuff there, they don't just thrash themselves and suddenly they appear. People are needed. That is why in Luke chapter 10, where we read, Jesus was telling the disciples, he said, look, he said, the harvest is white, but the laborers are few. He appointed the 70s also and said, please just go. And as a child of God, I've told us that we cannot say we are children of God if we are not discipling people. If you have stopped preaching the gospel, then you need to re-examine your life. Many of us, way back in those days, we probably used to preach in buses, preach on motorcycles. Every opportunity we had, we preach to people. These days, we don't preach anymore. But we need to start that again. Everything that has been an obstacle to our being able to go to people, God will remove it from our lives in Jesus' name. So that we can go and talk to people about Jesus Christ. People are needed. God wants you to be an extension of His hand, an extension of His voice, an extension of His presence, so that wherever, that's why Jesus, when He was teaching His disciples to pray, He said, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. In other words, I keep telling us, I say, wherever a child of God is, the kingdom of God should be coming there. everywhere you are, the kingdom of God should start coming to that place. Because you are the light that shine upon the mountain that cannot be hidden. Praise God. So people are needed in the threshing floor. But these people, it must not be that we are doing what we are doing because we just want to be part of the system. But as a fulfillment of the call of God upon our lives is a service to the Almighty God that we have to keep rendering. I want to encourage people, you know, those who are looking after the house fellowships, to start inviting people to the house fellowships. I remember in those days, 2001, 2002, you didn't have to be a member of the church for us to have house fellowship in your house. We moved it around. As many people as were interested, we made sure that they were involved because we need to hear the word of God. None of us eat once a week. Therefore, you cannot just hear the word of God once a week. And the constraining thing for us must be 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14. He said, let the love of Christ constrain you. What drives us is the love of Christ. In fact, it should be the basis for everything we do. We love because God has said so. We give because God has asked us to give and build treasure for ourselves in heaven. And also give as a mark of faith, knowing that He is our source. Many of you will have heard me say many times that he who looks at the cloud without will never sow. He who looks at the cloud will never sow. I work in the farming community, and I'm sure there are some of us here who work in the farming community. You know that the farmers, for them, particularly in the wet belt area, I've told us before, rain has to fall within certain time. And if the rain continues to fall, for example, this year they have the second highest yield ever in history. In the wheat belt area, I think the harvest is about 13.5 million tons. And they said the crop will not be as good. The yield is not as good. Why? Because there has been rainfall. The rain fell when it was not supposed to fall. In other words, but let me tell you something. Year in, year out, some of these farmers, because they to plant alone, some of them spend about $1 million just planting seeds alone. And what happens is this. If the farmer will wait and continue to wonder whether it's going to rain this year, if it's going to be appropriate this year or not appropriate, will he ever plant? He will never plant. There are many people who are selling off and going away because they think that it can never be good again. And I'm telling you that this year it's second to the highest. I think the highest has been about 14 point something million tons. He who looks at the cloud will never plant. Many of us look at the circumstances around and we say it no longer pays to serve God because of what we see happen in the lives of people. Or because of things that are happening in our own lives. I want to tell you that the best time to serve God is now. The Bible says perilous times shall come. Is perilous time here? It is here. Jesus was talking to the people around him. He said, how come you are able to discern the weather and you simply said, because the cloud has gathered this way, it's going to rain. Because the cloud has formed this way, it's going to rain. He said, how come you cannot discern the things of the Spirit? How come you cannot discern the things of the Spirit? How come you cannot discern the things of this hour? This is the time to get closer to God than ever before. As I keep telling people in this church, I said, look, go and look at the blessings that God pronounces on His people in the Bible. Every time God pronounces his blessings upon his people, he adds something to it. What does he add to it? He adds your seed to it, your children. If you will not serve God faithfully for yourself, if you have arrived, please do it for your children's sake. Do it for your children's sake. Because their blessings may depend on the way you serve God. Did somebody hear that? I said the blessings of your children may depend on your attitude towards the things of God. The Lord will indeed bless you in Jesus' name. There was a man in the Bible in Acts chapter 10 verses 1 and 2. His name is Cornelius. The Bible said that a day came. Maybe we should just quickly go and read. I'm looking at the time. That's where I'm paraphrasing everything. Acts 10 verses 1 and 2. He said there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God. Look at the characteristics of who Cornelius was. The Bible said he was a devout man. He was a man who feared God. He gave much alms. He prayed to God always. And one day God remembered him. One day God said, enough is enough. I don't know how long you have known God. It was not the day that Cornelius started praying that something happened in his life. You might have been serving God and you are saying, look, that you are not in a place where you think you should be. But I'm telling you, if you serve him unreservedly, if you serve him persistently, if you serve him continuously, I'm telling you that your time has come in Jesus' name. That day, the time of Cornelius came, and the Bible said, God remember him. God remember his arms. God remember his deeds. God remember his good works. And he said, look, something has to take place in the life of Cornelius in order for him to be a partaker of the blessings of the Lord. He had to send somebody to him so that he will meet all the qualifications. As you heard me pray the other time, and I was sharing with the men yesterday, I said the qualification to become an eagle is that you are born to be one. You cannot acquire it. You have to be born to be one. Cornelius had to be born again in order to participate in being an eagle. You may be in the house this morning and you have said, who is God? What are they talking about, self? You know, some people will see God as a concept. Praise the Lord. You say the concept of God. Praise the Lord. I will say from today, God will move from being a concept in your life to a reality in your situation in Jesus' name. You see, when you see the hand of God upon your life, he becomes a reality. He will no longer exist as a concept to you. People are needed who will do as God has said. They will give because they love the Lord, because they are constrained by the love of Christ. You will pray for all men because he asks you to pray. You will do good because he says do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Remember, we also said that the threshing floor need a solid ground. This usually a rock, usually extensive rock that you can call the foundation. The underlying surface of the threshing floor is often hard. It has a foundation, and the Bible tells us that the church of God is the foundation for what? For truth. Jesus is our foundation and he represents the truth. So every church must make the rock its foundation. Christ is the rock because he is the truth and the life. I've told us before, facts can change, but truth never changes. Facts do change, but truth will never change. And that is why the world keep changing. The world keep changing, but the word of God has not changed. The principles of God has not changed. Perhaps you may think that he has revised his stance on many issues just because we have revised standard version of the Bible. What it simply means is that the language with which it's written is a bit different, so we can understand it a bit more. But God indeed has not revised his principles. And by it you are set to prosper. I said, by it you are indeed set to prosper in Jesus' name. One thing about the threshing floor is that no sheaf that goes to the threshing floor comes out the same. It will be most unfortunate for that sheaf. You know what sheaves are? You know that bundle? You know? When you throw it in the threshing floor, it never comes the same. It will never come out the same. That is why when you come into the presence of the Lord, you cannot go out the same. I want you to open to Psalm 119 verse 37. Psalm 119, 37. This is what David was praying. The prayer of David. Of course, there are many prayers of David. But this particular one, I want you to take note of it. And it should be your prayer as you leave the church today. He said, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in what? In thy way. When you come into the threshing floor, one of the things that happens in your life is that your parameters for measuring success changes. Your parameter for measuring achievement begins to change. Your view of what is good and right starts to change. And that was what David was praying for. He said, turn my eyes away from vanity. In other words, I want to start to find happiness in doing your will. From today, you begin to find happiness in doing the will of God in Jesus' name. You know, the reason why a lot of people cannot be committed to serving the Lord is because they think they are going to miss out on some things. That was why I didn't give my life to Christ on time. Because I kept imagining, you know, those friends I used to hang out with, all the beer I used to drink, all the places I used to go, all the company I used to keep. It was one of the major constraints for me because of the things I thought I would have to give up. And remember, I told you I don't like to be called brother. Praise the Lord. When they say brother, I know. You know, after some times, I wanted to be called brother. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you something. There are things that look appealing to you now. Those things that look appealing to you, maybe it's what your friends are, what your friends have, the way your friends, you know, behave and do things. Let me tell you something, that is not the way of an eagle. The eagle is a lone bird. Chickens go in groups. The eagle stands alone. If you are going to stand for God, and if you want the power of God to be manifest in your life, learn to tolerate loneliness. I've been saying it. Learn to tolerate loneliness. Sometimes God has to take us through states where we have to stand for God alone. Praise the Lord. And that is how your destiny is going to change in the Lord forever in Jesus' name. He said, you know, teach me, O God, to take away my eyes from vanity. And you begin to find pleasure in the way of the Lord. Are you still finding pleasure in the way of the Lord? Is the way of the Lord your delight? We should be praying the same prayer that David prayed. I want you to open your Bible to Hosea chapter 14 verse 9. Hosea chapter 14 verse 9. He said, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. What will the just do? They will walk in the way of the Lord. from today you begin to walk in the way of the Lord in Jesus' name. In fact, those things that arouse your desire that are ungodly, from today I exterminate them in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. When you go to do them, you will not succeed in those areas in Jesus' name. Because the righteous find delight in pleasing God. You find delight in pleasing Him in Jesus' name. In the last week or so, I've been studying the scripture on the 10 virgins. And I look and contrasted their lives. I'll just pick an aspect of it that I will talk to you about. Just one. You will find out that the five foolish ones, that their light only glows in the company of people. Praise God. Because everybody went with their lamp. After some time, the oil dried up. And they required to, you know, to continue to exist using other people's light. You don't become an eagle by association. Praise God. And I'm sure, if it were to be those days, the five who said, please go and buy your own, will say they are selfish people. That's what I'm telling you, in the things of God, it's you and your God. It is not you and anyone else. It's you and God. The Lord will justify you in Jesus' name. As you desire to please Him, He will justify you in the mighty name of Jesus. The threshing floor requires cleaning. Otherwise, you mingle stones with the corn, with the sorghum, whatever, the beans, whatever you are getting from there, they get mixed with it. Not only do you don't want to mix anything of that nature with it, you allow the wind to blow away the chaffs from the real substance. When you come under the authority of the word of God in a place like this, it ensures that you start to do the bidding of the Lord. I want to share something with you. I want you to open your Bible to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 12. Listen to this. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Somebody say, do them. Do them. Do them. If you walk in my statutes and you do them. Because it is possible to have the statutes of God, to have your Bible and not do them. But he said, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemy, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000 to flight. 10,000 to flight, and your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Can you just tell your neighbor that your greatness depends on your obedience? Say, your greatness depends on your obedience. There is just one line one line there, if you will keep my commandments and do them. And then there's another about 9 verses that talks about the blessing that will come to you. In other words, God is saying your obedience and the lack of luck in your life again, forever. They are linked. Your obedience and your prosperity and your well-being and your peace and the well-being of your family and the well-being of your home, they are linked. They are all linked to your obedience to the word of God. And everyone that God used mightily came to a point. They came to a point where they had to prepare their own hearts to say, Lord, this is what I want to do for you. This is the way I want to go for you. I've made up my mind that I want to follow you. It is when we get to that point that the word of God becomes effective in our lives. That's why I talk about the good ground. It is when we make our hearts good ground for the word of God that things will start to change for us and we begin to live a life of bliss. Look, let me tell you something. Most times what happens today, I want you to just open your Bible to Joshua chapter 14. We're going to read verse 6 to 9 while I tell you this. Many of us feel satisfied with the way things are, because we don't know what is possible in the Lord. I've shared with the church before. I said, look, you cannot live and prosper well just by the knowledge of God, of the word of God. Did somebody hear that? Eh? But you are going to live and prosper well by the revelation that comes from the word. Otherwise, you will live a life of limitation. Every limitation upon your life will be removed today in Jesus' name. Somebody gave a testimony not long ago. He was preaching to people who are wealthy, very rich. And he told them, he said, you think you are rich? You think you are wealthy? He gave the testimony of the wife of the Sultan or the Emir of Brunei. She went to London. She went to Harrods. Some of you know Harrods. She bought so much that she couldn't carry. She ordered a Boeing 747 to buy. Not to rent, to buy. And they said, can we get you a cargo one? He said, that will be too dirty. I want the real one without seats. Filled it with the shopping, and they took it home, and she didn't open it for about 3 years. Praise the Lord. I told the church the other time that 1% of the world hold what percentage of the world wealth? 40%. But if you are a godly person, if the wealth is in your hand, you will use it to do godly deeds. The wealth of the Hittites will be transferred to you in Jesus' name. Depends on your obedience. The limitation in the kingdom is because we are not being obedient. The day you start to obey, you will see what God will do. Praise God. Joshua 14, 6 to 9. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. In the same household, in the same family, the outcome of lives are different. The outcome of your life can be different. And it depends on what, just one thing, wholly following the Lord. And as you wholly follow Him, the grace of God will come upon your life for exploit in Jesus' name. I'm aware of our time. Now, the threshing floor is the place of abundance. That is where there is a selection. The good, you see, the farmer will take the good ones for planting and the bad ones for what? For eating, for destruction. Meat for the belly and belly for the meat. So he just goes and passes out the bad ones. But at the threshing floor, the ones that are good, they are picked for recropping. The Lord will pick you for recropping from today in Jesus' name. That is why, you see, God is looking for people. I remember we started with the fact that the harvest is white and the laborers are few. From the threshing floor, the Lord will select the people that He wants to send to go and disciple people, the people He wants to send to go and, you know, be a blessing to other people. And all depends on the condition of our relationship with Him. If you will not go with anything, I want you to go with the fact that you want, you know, your relationship with the Lord to change for the better from today, so that you can fulfill your destiny in the Lord. Money. We go. Houses. We go. All it takes is for one flood to come and everything is destroyed. But the covenant of God in your life will go beyond your existence. The covenant of God upon the life of Abraham is what you and I enjoy today. And Abraham is not here. Remember, those of us in the church who know, I've shared with you what somebody said. The pastor who said he did a test and said he decided to make practical the word of God that says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Praise God. And he said the test he did was to check. You know, there was a brother who was going through a situation who came to him. And they had a discussion and he said, brother, your heart is no longer with the Lord. Your heart needs to come back to the Lord. And he said, no, my heart is with the Lord. He said, brother, do you want to really know if your heart is with the Lord? He said, yes, I want to know, but I can tell you my heart is with the Lord. He said, go and bring your bank statement. He brought his bank statement. And they checked through. And they found out that he bought golf club, he bought this, he bought that. There was no tithe, there was no offering there. Praise the Lord. He said, okay, brother, let's check your diary, how you spend your time in the last 1 month. And they check. Oh, I went to club this, he went to meet that family this, he went to meet that friend this. There was no house fellowship, there was no praying time, there was no... The two most important things we have, the time and our resources. The guy said, it's an indication of where our heart lies. If your resources and your time has not been going to the things of God, we need to do a rethink. Remember we said, the church is the threshing floor. Your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Can we just rise on our feet, please, as we pray? You are the Lord, let your name be glorified. You are the Lord, you are the Lord, Let your name be glorified. We give you glory and honor. You are the Lord. Let your name be glorified. I want to begin to speak to the Lord. I say, Father, refine me. Refine me. You are the refiner's fire. Refine me today, oh God. Refine me like gold. Refine me like silver. Refine me today in Jesus' name. Refine my life. Everything that pertains to me, begin to refine right now, oh God. Speak to the Lord. Speak to Him, please. All eyes closed. Speak to the Lord. Ask God to refine you. Ask God to refine you. Ask Him to touch your life afresh. All eyes closed, head bowed. You are in the house. You have never given your life to Christ. You have given your life to Christ, but you know that definitely you are no longer living that way. Can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? You cannot walk out of this place and remain the same. Please, just lift up your hand above your head. I want to pray with you. It's very important. Can I pray with you? You just know. You just know that you are no longer like that anymore. You are no longer a child of God. You don't walk in His ways anymore. Can you lift up your hand to the Almighty God? Thank you, Jesus. Because we are going to share the Holy Communion. Please, I don't want you to take this Holy Communion if you are not born again, please. And if you are not in right standing with the Lord, please don't participate. Don't take it. Don't participate. Don't take it, please. If you are not in right standing with God, that is why I need to pray with you. Please, if you are in the house right now, can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God before we participate in the Holy Communion together? Please, all eyes closed, please. Thank you, Daddy. We give you praise. We give you glory. Can you just stretch forth your hands towards this Holy Communion and say, Father, connect me with this meal that I'm about to make. I'm about to eat. Connect me with this wine that I'm about to drink, which is your blood. Just connect me to destroy every yoke in my life, to break that which is not to your praise in my life, to heal me and deliver me of my diseases and my afflictions, to destroy the yoke of the enemy upon my life. Connect me, because we have prayed over this. Just connect me, O God, that my life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. After partaking of this, my life will never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are going to pass the bread round. When you have the bread, I want you to take it and eat it. But please, just hold on to the wine. We are going to drink in unison. Praise the Lord. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord. If you like, this is the time to make a covenant with the Lord that particular situation in your life must change today. that undesirable thing in your life that it has to change today. Today is the day. If it requires making a covenant with him, I want you to make a covenant with him. Right now, just speak to the Lord that as you partake of the body of Christ, the victory that overcomes the world has come into your life, and that is our faith. The recipe for living a victorious life, that is our faith. That the Pharaoh you see today, you will see it no more in Jesus' name. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord right now. Talk to him. Just talk to him. Have bread and wine now. Continue to pray. Continue to speak to the Lord. You cannot eat with the King of Kings, and diseases will follow you, or infirmities will follow you. You cannot eat with the Kings of Kings, and misfortune will be your portion. You cannot eat with him, and the snares of the fowler will entrap you. You cannot eat with him. Have the situation of your life change. You cannot be in his presence and go home the same. I want to believe we all have the elements, the wine and the bread. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to have come under the authority of your word, and to come under your power this afternoon, O God. Everyone who have taken part in this holy communion, whatever it will take heaven, O God, they will eat with you on that day in Jesus' name. Every entrapment, every deceit of the enemy that make people to fall away, from today, O God, because you are a restorer of that which is broken, you will restore every life that needs restoration today in Jesus' name. Father, I declare that it is well with our homes. I declare that it's well with our jobs. I declare that it's well with our children. I declare that it is well with our bodies. I declare that it's well when we go out this week. Lord, this year is coming to an end. We will not end with this year. Your testimony, the testimony of your goodness, will never cease from our lips in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace, please?